This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier, thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
Let's roll, baby. Welcome in a loaded East Coast bias here, wrapping up the month of April. A couple more Thursdays to go. What a day. What a show we have in store right here on East Coast Bias, right here for your friends on FanDuel TV and, of course, on the Ringer Gambling Show feed. I welcome in Joe House, Raheem Palmer. We will have reaction to Miami and Philadelphia coming up in a little bit. But, fellas, there was just so much to get to as far as the events that unfolded on Tuesday night with the NBA play-in tournament kicking off. You had the Lakers holding on for dear life. Zion Williamson having this epic performance, epic comeback until he gets hurt. New Orleans goes down, and the Lakers now have themselves a date with the Denver Nuggets. Then I'm the same knucklehead. Warriors. Yeah, please. That was one of the dumbest bets I've made in a long, long time. I'm sure our friends over at FanDuel cleaned up. Sacramento wins the game going away. And all sorts of questions now for Golden State as we go to the offseason. So I'll start with you, Joe House. We had two very eventful games for a variety of different reasons. Your biggest takeaway from Tuesday NBA play in action was
Zion Williamson. Could be him, but he's not gonna be. And it really breaks my heart. I love that guy. What we saw over the course of this entire NBA season, he gave us almost a full season worth of basketball, reminded us of the talent that captured our imagination as the number one overall draft pick, set that draft room in New Orleans into a frenzy. And here we are this handful of years later. He puts on a display that validates everything that we might have believed about him. 40 points against the Lakers. 40 points against Anthony Davis. That was an all-timer. And then in the full Zion Williamson experience, it just breaks my heart. Hamstring out. That's it. See you in September.
Yeah, it was very, very tragic. Obviously, I did have the Lakers. That was a
that
bet
a
that
boy,
I made.
Raheem. That a boy.
That was a bet that I made because I felt like the Lakers have dominated this team all year long, and the Pelicans have shown that they can't show up in these big spots. But they showed up in that second half. 18-point lead, they erased it. And if Zion doesn't get hurt, I actually think that they win that game. So it was very disappointing to see it from a fan's perspective. The one thing that I took away from last night's games was that the Golden State Warriors are finished, absolutely finished. This is the death of a dynasty. It's unfortunate because when you look at Steph Curry, he's a guy who's always been loyal. He's not like a LeBron James who says, you know what, get this guy out of here. Get Klay out of here. Get Draymond Green out of here. He wants to ride with his guys. And unfortunately, that hurt him because he's still a highly impactful player and a superstar, but there's just not enough around him. Klay Thompson, he couldn't buy a bucket. So this team has to decide what they're going to do going forward. Are they going to bring back Klay Thompson at a lower number? Are they going to get rid of Chris Paul? Are they going to, what are they going to do with all of these pieces? So it's unfortunate, but it's been a death of a dynasty.
You know, the Warriors in a real weird spot. I think you nailed it, Raheem. And I kind of lived this in the early 2010s with my Yankee dynasty, when I had to watch the end of Derek Jeter as an aging player, and I had to watch the end of Jorge Posada as an aging player. I mean, watching Klay Thompson yesterday not score a point in a game the Warriors absolutely had to have, it was like, it was sad to watch. It was like, what happened to Klay? What happened to the Warriors? Steph Curry's trying to do everything in his power, especially early in that third quarter, to will them back. And to be honest, I actually thought Golden State was in a decent spot in that game because Klay was as bad as can be. Curry got off to a slow start, yet they were only up 4 or 5 points. Sacramento ended up pulling away in the second half. And yeah, the Warriors, as we know them, as this team that has had this very unique five-year run house. Like, forget about the dynasty years, forget about the 73 wins and Kevin Durant and all that stuff. You think about their last 5 years. They've mixed the title in there. They had a second-round loss last year, a couple of play-in losses, and, oh, by the way, a year in which they were one of the worst teams within the NBA. Yeah, I'm with Dream on this. I don't know how much the team is going to change because Draymond Green is under contract. I don't get the sense Steph Curry is going anywhere. But, you know, Klay Thompson, does he take less money to go back there? What's what they all said after the game? Hey, we want Klay back in the fold. So maybe loyalty plays a factor here, but as far as the Warriors being a bona fide, legitimate threat over the next few years, I'm with Raheem. I don't see it.
Bye-bye. It was fun while it lasted. Now, I'm disappointed because over the course of the season, we were very critical of this version of the Golden State Warriors because for them to be competitive, it took a superhuman effort out of Steph Curry. And he was delivering. I mean, the only reason that that team got to the, whatever it was, 44, 45 wins, was because that dude, Steph Curry, was doing it. Draymond let him down with Draymond antics once again. Another lost season. See, the problem is Steph is whatever, 35, 36. There are no more Steph Curry superhuman performances in the future. The future was now. And that's why we were, you know, properly skeptical of them, critical of them. I thought they would at least accomplish the bare minimum, which was handle their business in this play-in situation and at least get into the Western Conference playoffs. But they're cooked. They have nothing. Look, I made a joke on one of the text threads last night. Which of these three franchises, the futures, would you prefer to have? The Wizards, the Pistons, or the Warriors, you know, rank the futures. Well, at least the Wizards and the Pistons have a chance at Cooper Flagg. The Warriors have nothing. They're cooked. They are an 11-12 seed for the foreseeable future in the West. The West got better, and they are worse. They got worse, and they are worse, and there's nothing. They have a talent problem. They can't get good enough. That's it, JJ.
And not only do they have a talent problem, they have a salary cap problem. I mean, you're talking about Steph Curry's going to get $55 million next year, $59 million next year. You're still paying Chris Paul. You're still paying Andrew Wiggins for 4 more years. Draymond Green for 4 more years. Like, this team is totally capped out and they have no way of improving. So this is really, really tragic. I just think they made so many bad decisions leading back to the Wiseman draft. You go back to the Wiseman draft, like you go back to the fact that you trade Jordan Poole, well, you pay Jordan Poole, and then you have to trade him for older Chris Paul. The fact that Draymond is declining, and then you double down on his salary, they're just in a bad spot altogether.
All right, guys, enough of the Warriors. Let's transition now because we have two interesting subplots to get to. First, who's going to be the 8th seed? We know what that matchup is going to be. And then we'll get to Denver and the Lakers. Raheem, credit with the Lakers. You talked me out of betting New Orleans. I'm sitting there in the fourth quarter saying maybe I should have bet New Orleans. But hey, you win on your 100 pick. And now it will be New Orleans without Zion Williamson. And we know what the record is for New Orleans against Sacramento this year. 5-0. But Zion Williamson is not going to be playing on Friday. this line has moved. I think it's legitimate reaction. I don't think it's overreaction to the loss of a guy who put up 40 points on Tuesday night against the Lakers. And I feel like we, the three of us, have all been out on the Sacramento Kings. And you do have to wonder if maybe that was their NBA Finals on Tuesday, slaying the beast that was Golden State that has kind of owned them and has dominated them for so long. But without Zion, Raheem, you tell me the Kings play their best game, the Pelicans play their best game. I think the Kings win on Friday night.
My take is that this is going to be a very low-scoring game. And you look at both of these two defenses. These are two defenses which have been top 10 in defensive efficiency since the All-Star break. The Pelicans have been winning with defense. The Kings, as quiet as kept, when you lose Kevin Huerter, when you lose Malik Monk, they are winning with defense. And you saw it with Keon Ellis.
Played well.
I mean,
Keon Ellis played really well last night.
In jail.
Really well.
He had him in jail. And so I'm looking at this game as a lower scoring game. Look, this total would probably be around 226 normally. You're looking at a total of 214 and a half. So that tells you that there's not going to be a lot of points scored. Obviously, these two teams played the other day. So, I mean, they played grueling games. So this is almost like a playoff game. So I'm looking at this as a game that you take under.
Interesting. House, you got a feel?
Tiniest lean ever just to the home team because it's going to be a home dog. That's really it. I mean, it is going to be an absolute slugfest. But I think I prefer the Pelicans just because, you know, that crowd really came alive. That was some kind of a performance against the Lakers all the way up until poor Zion went out, and the defensive intensity was there. I just Sacramento shot the lights out, and you know, you get that huge variance with 3-point shooting. If you tell me right now that they're going to be making all those buckets that Mathurin Murray and Keon Ellis are going to be knocking down three balls like that, then sure, I could say Sacramento, but tiny lean towards the home dogs, just doing it for their man, making the playoffs for their man, Zion.
Hey, listen, if Zion was playing in this game, I'd have totally different thoughts. I think it's a completely different animal with him not being in there. And I know 5-0 is tough to ignore, but no Zion, I think it ends up going to 5-1. It's, you know what I mean,
Raheem? I think the thing that scares me is the fact that you had Brandon Ingram on the bench in the fourth quarter the other day. And I always talk about this. When you have a high usage superstar or star player coming back after an injury and you have to reacquaint him and readjust him to the lineup, it takes a while to get there. And now you need to do that without your other star in Zion Williamson. So that's the thing that's keeping me off the Pelicans here, because I think the Pelicans could win this game without Zion under normal circumstances. But Brandon Ingram's just coming back. He doesn't have his rhythm. So I agree with you, JJ. I think you got to lean towards the Kings.
Okay, let's get to now a rematch of the Western Conference Finals. And it will be played in round one. So much for the idea, House, that the Lakers and the head coach had some choice words for people thinking that they would try to throw the 7 seed to end up with the number 8 seed. So I guess they're looking at you, John Jastrzemski, but that's fine. It'll be the Lakers and the Nuggets. We know how dominant Denver has been over the Lakers. A lot of close games last year in the conference finals. Well played, 4-0 sweep. Games were really fun. They were really competitive. You got Denver as a minus 300 something favorite. Justified. I think it's fair and reasonable. Can you make a case, House, that the Lakers are going to make this a lengthier series this time?
I cannot. And the reason is because I think that the Nuggets' ability to defend on the perimeter, especially with that home court advantage, I think they're going to put D'Angelo Russell in the torture chamber. And without any other viable 3-point shooting option for the Lakers, I think it's once again, we're looking at a short series. Now, I don't know that I'm going to invest in 4-0, but I'm going to dabble in some 4-1. I mean, it is a very interesting matchup because of how the Lakers can bring that physicality. And I do think the games will be close in the fourth quarter and we're going down the stretch. But I can't come up with a scenario in which the Lakers can stop Joker inside of clutch time. And without that capacity, I just don't think there's a great chance for them to pull the upset.
Yeah, this is tough for me as well. Like, I don't think the Lakers are going to pull the upset, but I do think this is going to be a more competitive series than people think. A lot of the talk going around this week was that the Lakers should tank their way out of this position and try to play in the 9-10 playoff game so they can match up with OKC, who they've dominated most of this year. But I think this is going to be a competitive series. Do I think the Lakers are going to win? No. But if you look at how these teams have played each other, they've been close games. And typically, that ends with Nikola Jokic and the Denver Nuggets shutting the door in the clutch. I think this year, the Lakers don't get swept. I don't think they win, but I think they could win one or two games in this series. So if you're looking at, you know, some spreads, you could take the Denver Nuggets -1.5 on a series price at -168. Or you could take this over 5 games or over 6 games. I think I like those bets more than anything.
Fair enough. And how about that series price moving? Opened at around the -300 range. It has gone up to -400. And we'll get to this a little bit later on in the show when we talk about a couple of these other series. It's amazing how the market can really shift these prices, because there are a couple of series that opened a certain way and they have moved, to say the least. I got Denver winning this series, fellas, in 6 games. I think it will be a more competitive series from a game standpoint than it was last year. I just am not betting against the Joker. That's really what it boils down to. I have some concerns about that Denver bench that last year gave them some really, really good minutes. They haven't been as effective. We'll see if that changes come playoff time. I think Denver takes care of this series. I like -1.5 for him at -168. I wish I could bet Laker +2.5, but I can't find it on FanDuel, which is annoying. If I could, I'd bet it.
Yeah, they actually have +1.5, and they've had +3.5.
Exactly.
But there is no 2.5. So that tells you a lot of things. But you can actually bet Lakers Denver total games at 6 games, +230. So, and then that gives you a little out, because let's just say the Lakers win in 6 games. So
you got options. I like that. +230, 6 games. I will absolutely be playing that when it comes to the Nuggets and the Lakers. All right, we'll come back. We know who my Knicks are going to be playing. Will it be the Sixers? Will it be the Heat? We'll break down the 2-7 matchup, the series price on that, what it all means right after this. Bet the NBA with a no-sweat same-game parlay from FanDuel every Thursday with TNT Thursdays. It doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or already have an account. You'll get bonus bets back if your same-game parlay doesn't win on any NBA on TNT game. NBA same-game parlays are the perfect way to combine your bets for a chance to score a bigger payday. So we'll have an East Coast bias, SGP, Pelicans, Kings. You want to check that out? I might be getting involved with one of my own for the Knicks involving Jalen Brunson. Maybe I'll go and take DiVincenzo or Bogdanovich to hit it to a 3-2 and catch that one as they take on a Celtic team that doesn't have a whole lot to play for. However you want to play, just head to FanDuel.com/gamblers to bet the NBA with a no-sweat same-game parlay with TNT Thursdays. That's FanDuel.com/gamblers. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rghelp.com. Min 3-leg parlay required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Max refund $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Welcome back. So we now know what the 2-7 is going to be in Eastern Conference playoffs. It'll be Raheem Sixers. My Knicks, I can't wait to break down this series. But House, Raheem, I had a feeling the Heat were going to be feisty in this game. Little did I know, House, the Heat were going to be up by as many as 14 points, dominating the first half, getting offensive rebound after offensive rebound. You got Joel Embiid hanging around, sluggish through the first 3 quarters. And I didn't have on my bingo card Batum being maybe the biggest difference in Philly getting the 7th seed as opposed to the 8th seed.
The Sixers' savior, Nicholas Batum. The Sixers can look at that trade, James Harden, and say, hey, who won that trade? Did we? Who won this trade? They have a legit claim. Because honestly, all kidding aside, Batum has been a very important part of the Sixers through this entire stretch of Embiid being out. But look, man, this had all the hallmarks. We could all see it coming right down the road. It was a grind them out, slugfest, tough rebound kind of situation. Obviously, the game went under, and Miami was right there, as you would expect. They couldn't make a layup in the second half. They were all around the rim. They had several chances around the rim, couldn't knock them down. 36% from three, which is, you know, kind of what you expect. If they got, if it hit 39%, it would have won the game. So I'm not surprised, JJ.
I got to correct you. The game actually went over. So,
and it, what number did it close at?
208.5.
Wow, it did end up going over. See, I was so concerned with my Heat ticket that I thought it was going to be flushed down the toilet, Raheem. And I did hop on Philly Live because, as we've discussed multiple times on East Coast Bias, I wanted no part of Miami, so I wanted to root for Philly to win the game. Raheem, it was a rarity where I actually got the best of both worlds, bud. Finally.
It was absolutely incredible. Like, look, for that game to go over, you got to away from the play foul, and then you got a Tyler Hero three at the buzzer.
With like a second left.
Yeah, so it's just, I mean, absolutely incredible. This line got bent all the way down. And then in the first half, neither one of these teams could score. The Sixers had an offensive rating of 86 in the first half and an effective field goal percentage of 37%. They were shooting 16% from three in the first half. And in the second half, they just stopped turning the ball over and completely turned this game around.
Now we get to Knicks and Sixers. And Raheem tweeted about this earlier in the day, talking about how he expected Philly as a number seven seed to be favored over my beloved New York Knicks, who won 50 games in a regular season, who have been terrific since they've made the OG Anunoby trade. It wasn't a crazy favorite number, Raheem, on FanDuel. Sixers at minus 120, Knicks coming in basically at minus 106. It's a coin flip, pick 'em type of series. From what I saw out of Philly today, and I know they're red hot and they've won a bunch of games in a row, I have no faith and confidence that Embiid is going to be able to get through this series. I know he had a big fourth quarter. He is lumbering. He is hobbling around. The Knicks get after it defensively. They shoot the three. I like the matchup a lot better with Philly than I did Miami. I think this line's off for him. And I know the Knicks fan of me is probably coming out here. I just think the Knicks have been better than the Sixers. They've been better for a good chunk of 3 or 4 months. I'm on the Knicks to win this series, my man.
So I'm not sure where I stand at right now, but when you look at how this series is priced, it's priced as if the Sixers are the second seed and the Knicks are the third seed. And I think that's kind of fair. So, I mean, I think I would probably make the Knicks favorite because they have home court. And I think having home court in a 7-game series, that matters. And then you also have to look at the fact that Joel Embiid is banged up and the Sixers are also coming off of a play-in tournament. So I do think the Knicks should be favorite, but I think it should be around that 120, 110 range because I think this is a very close series. When you look at the Sixers with Joel Embiid this season, 32-8, net rating of plus 10.5. But when you look at the New York Knicks since OG Anunoby was traded, 20-3 with OG Anunoby in the lineup, net rating of plus 13.2. So these are two evenly matched teams, and I think you just have to handicap the matchups to see where this goes.
And I sense, House, a whole lot of unders in this series with the Knicks and the Sixers. And don't forget about that ugly Sunday evening game. Embiid didn't play, I understand that, but it was some grotesque basketball. Don't be surprised we're talking unders. Where do you stand? Knicks, slight dog here against Philly, even though they're the 2 seed.
It's only because we are taping this right after the game. This is going to flip. By you let New York get at these books. And
I
let
grabbed
the market,
it already. I got plus money for what it's worth, well, but okay.
See, JJ, always ahead of the curve on closing line value, baby. I'm telling you, just wait till game time. You know, let all of New York jump into the books. The market's going to flip. New York will end up favorite, slight favorite. That feels right to me. I mean, the problem in the handicap is just what kind of impact can Embiid have? And that's the great uncertainty. He does not look right in terms of his movement out there. And the Sixers were bailed out against this Heat team because one of their others came right up, stepped right up, a guy with lots of playoff experience in Batum and handled his business. And that's what I think will ultimately sort of be the give and take of this series. Guys that you might not expect jumping into the limelight and pushing forward. On balance, I prefer the Knicks, and mainly because I don't think that the Sixers are going to have a healthy Embiid through the balance of the series. But and I also don't think we're going to get very much value on the totals. I bet it opens. What's it at? What's the first game at? Do we have a number?
207 right now.
I bet it gets down to 205 or 204.5 by game time. That would be. I'm wanting to jump in. I might have to get off this podcast, this FanDuel TV program, and get in the book and get my under 207 right now, because it's not going to stay at 207.
Coming up, we have all the Eastern, all the Western Conference Finals to get to. As far as series prices are concerned, if there's a series that's being played, we got a price on it. We got a take on it. That's coming your way. We got SGP coming your way for the play-in. Loaded rest of the show. East Coast Bias Boys, coming right back.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
All right, boys, now that we know who the Knicks will be playing in that 2-7, we can run through a bunch of these other series. And I hinted at this earlier. It's amazing, Raheem, how the early bird in some of these instances can catch the worm. Dallas and the Clippers, to me, is the perfect example of that, because you guys mentioned the idea of grabbing Dallas at plus money. I missed out on that, but guess what? I got Dallas when FanDuel had them at even money to go and win their series against the Los Angeles Clippers. Now, look on that FanDuel Sportsbook app, Raheem. Minus 142 for the Mavericks to go win the series. That's what you call getting a better number.
Yeah, that's a huge adjustment. And I think a big part of that adjustment is the fact that we are very unaware about the status of Kawhi Leonard. This is a guy who's been missing the last couple of weeks. Might play in this series. He might not. Who knows? I don't think his team knows. I don't think Shams knows. There's nobody who knows what Kawhi Leonard is going to do but Kawhi Leonard and Uncle Dennis. So I think the market is just assuming that he's not going to play. And then when you look at the fact that how well this Dallas Mavericks team has played compared to how much the Clippers have struggled. I mean, you're talking about a team who's basically 500 after the All-Star break. You got to take the Mavericks here. So I understand why.
I share the sentiment. I think the market and you know, there has to be some sharp movement for that number to go all the way up to that minus 142. And the sharp folks have information. That's the key to all of this is what is the information situation as we come into these series. When you see a movement like that, there is a strong inclination that Kawhi is going to miss at a minimum game one. So I don't know. I'm going to look at this one. And I'm going to ponder it a little bit. Do I dare play Dallas to win game one on the idea that Kawhi is going to miss it, but the Clippers to win the series? I'm going to ponder it because I'm not yet ready to throw dirt on this Clippers team. The Paul George and James Harden combo, for that portion of the season, when we saw those two guys with Kawhi and Kawhi in good health, you can't unsee that. They were on an unbelievable 30-35 game tear. It's playoff time. I think Kawhi, if he's able to go, will go. He might miss game one, but the pricing for the dog might catch my attention. I'm just going to sit tight.
I'm looking here, House. Dallas -1.5 for game one on Sunday, -120 on a money line. Dallas to win the series and win game one, +130. I actually may go the other way on this, House. And I understand your concern. Hey, Kawhi Leonard comes back. He's the best player in the series. He's got all this playoff juju from years past, and it ends up being overwhelming. Like, yeah, that's part of the handicap. But, you know, Raheem, I go back to last year. He looked as good as anybody in game one and game two against Phoenix.
And how did that turn out? We didn't see him for the rest of the series. I can't count on Kawhi at this point. I'm on Dallas. I'm sticking with it.
Yeah, I'm going to approach this as if Kawhi Leonard's not going to play the entire series. That's how I'm approaching this at this point in time, because we just don't know. Like, his track record says either he's going to miss game one or he could miss the rest of the series. Like, he could even show up for game two, play a half, and then just be done for the year. So I think this number is telling us that. And I gave it out on 100. I gave out the Mavericks for the series. I gave out the Mavericks minus one for game one. I look at it like this. If Kawhi is ruled in for game one, you get a rusty Kawhi. If he's not ruled in, then this number jumps and you have a chance at a middle opportunity by taking the Clippers at a higher number, and you put yourself in a good position. So if I was everybody, if you didn't grab the Mavericks, grab them now, and then you could always probably come back on this later, because the Mavericks are going to have a lead in the series.
All right, boys. We got Minnesota and Phoenix. Game one on Saturday. Another one of these series has where the series price is shifted, because they opened it Sunday, 3-6 matchup. It was basically even money. Phoenix is obviously matched up very well with Minnesota throughout the regular season. Not great Anthony Edwards games against the Phoenix Suns. Minus 136 for Phoenix to go and win the series. And if you're looking at game one, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, which will be a nice little appetizer for me with the Knicks at Madison Square Garden, you do have the Suns as a 2-point dog in game one. So Suns plus two in game one, but minus money house to win the series. Your thoughts?
I like the Suns, and we talked it through a little bit. This price has moved in the direction of the Suns. It was minus 120 on Monday when we were together for East Coast Bias. Now minus 136. You mentioned it. I'm fine with going ahead and betting the Suns. I'll bet them on the money line. I'll bet them getting the points. I have no problem with it. The version of the Suns that we saw Sunday was the first time that we've seen that version of these Phoenix Suns with this combination of personnel. And it was an eye-opener for me. Now, obviously, well-known Joe House recency bias kind of guy, but look, that defense was no joke. And this Minnesota had every incentive to try to win that game. That was not a game that Minnesota was like laissez-faire about. They wanted to win. They could not score. And it's been dreams, recurring theme when it comes to this Minnesota Timberwolves team. They don't score in the fourth quarter. They don't score in the clutch. I would have been skeptical, but for having seen with my own two eyes the way that this Suns team rose to the challenge, avoided the play-in altogether, said, yes, give us the T-Wolves going forward through these playoffs. I'm going to lay it with the Suns, fellas.
I don't think there's a series I hate more.
Wow. Okay.
Like, the Suns have absolutely dominated this team all year long. And they've proven that with their shot making, this is a bad matchup for the Wolves. But on the other hand, this is playoff basketball. And we know when you have bigs like Rudy Gobert, and you can get inside and you can dominate inside of the paint, you can grab rebounds, that's a bad spot to be in. And Kevin Durant doesn't look like the same guy to me. He looks like a guy who's wearing down. From a numbers perspective, the sharp guys are going to see this number and say the Wolves are to play, because they should be laying more than this based on how they perform all throughout the regular season. And the Wolves are actually minus two.
Yes. Okay. All right.
So they should be the favorites for this series, and they should be laying more in game one based on just the numbers. But you can't play the numbers when the other team has more shot makers and you struggle in the clutch. So I just don't like the series at all. I'm going to look at this from a zigzag series perspective. Whoever wins game one, I'm taking the opposite game two, and I'm going
to
go from there.
See, to me, this has seven-game series written all over it. I'm going to bet Minnesota in game one. I think they're going to be juiced up. I think they'll feed off the crowd. The idea of Anthony Edwards having this moment in front of, you know, the home faithful. And I know his numbers have not been great against Phoenix. I think we get a big effort out of the T-Wolves in game one. And then what I'm going to look to do, Raheem, that is going to be my moment to pounce on Phoenix to go and win the series, because I'm going to get them at a much better number. I'm going to get Phoenix, instead of getting them laying 136, they'll say, okay, I'll get Phoenix at 105, 110, 115. I'm not going to lay the juice in what should be a seven-game series where, oh, by the way, the seventh game would be in Minnesota, not in Phoenix. So I'm with you. That is a very, very tough series.
You look at this series. Would it surprise you if both teams are down in this series?
No. Not in the least.
So it's just like, I don't know what to do with it. So I think it's zigzag theory, and I like your approach.
Okay, excellent. Now, let's get to the two series you have in the Eastern Conference, because there's a similar dynamic, guys, with Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers and Giannis and what's going on with the Milwaukee Bucks. You have the Bucks taking on the Indiana Pacers, and we talked on Monday, and we were talking about Milwaukee at minus 170, minus 180. House is like, I'm all over Indiana every which way. Well, House, Indiana now is at plus 100 for the series. Milwaukee only at minus 118. Remember, Indiana has played them tough. They've had good regular season success. And you have no idea when Giannis is going to come back and play. Like, that's even one for me where I'm like, wow, this. I feel like I'm getting a discount on the Bucks. I the more and more I've thought about it, the more and more I'm like, no, I'm not getting involved with this because of the uncertainty with Giannis.
When we were together on Monday, I had the conviction we are not going to see Giannis in this series. It's not a matter of what game is Giannis going to appear in. He's going to appear in no games because that injury, if you compare it, and we did the homework, we did the legwork on this when the injury occurred, compared it to calf injuries of prominent players in the past, it's just not the kind of injury that you can come back from in short order. I mean, Kevin Durant's the most prominent example of it a handful of years ago that led to him blasting his Achilles. But where the injury apparently occurred and all the information we have about that injury does not suggest, in terms of the timeline, a return for Giannis. So the Pacers at plus 180 on Monday was my favorite play of these entire playoffs. Now the market has come to build into its pricing this information that Giannis is out for game one. Well, he ain't just out for game one. So I think it's still plus money for the Pacers is a good investment. There's nothing about this Bucks team without Giannis that this Pacers team has an issue with. And I honestly think Rick Carlisle versus Doc, like that, that's an advantage.
Oh, that's not even close. No. That's not even close. Raheem, that's not even close. Major coaching advantage for Indiana. Major.
Major coaching advantage, but I can't play it at this number. Like, to me, I think this is Bucks or pass, regardless of how much I think the Bucks stink. Because when you're looking at a price of like minus 300 and now you're down to minus 118, there's going to be sharps in the market who just think that there's value on the Bucks. And I can't argue with that, because who's to say that what the Indiana Pacers do in the regular season with all the run and gun offense and running up and down the court and scoring as much as possible is going to translate into the postseason. We haven't seen it. We have yet to see that. So, and then obviously you're missing Benedict Mathurin. Obviously they don't have Hill because they traded him. I don't think this Pacers offense is going to be the same. So I can't buy in on this price. I just cannot do it. I think if you didn't buy it on Monday when House told you to buy in on it, you're late to the party. So I don't think you should buy in on this price. I think you should play it game by game. Maybe play the Pacers in game one. But I'm not touching it right now.
Yeah, I understand that. I think it makes total sense. You didn't get the best of the Indiana number. And House, are there any concerns for you about Halliburton and the way he's worn down throughout the course of this year? Because I know from a Knicks perspective, I was dying for the Knicks to go and play the Indiana Pacers. Because I said, look, yes, they can go and run and gun you, but they haven't been as efficient offensively over the last few weeks. Halliburton looks like a guy's kind of worn down a little bit, and then you're going to get him in a best-of-seven series. This is like stay-away city for me, because with my luck, I'm going to get a crummier number on the Pacers. I'm going to have to be sitting there watching Giannis come back, and I'm going to feel like an absolute idiot for jumping in on this. So for me, I'm staying away from this. This is a game-by-game type deal for me. But any concern with Halliburton and the way he's worn down?
So from that perspective and what you just articulated, I will lose this Pacers bet, and I am invested in it If that comes to pass, your scenario, of course, there is reasonable concern about this Pacers team. Halliburton hasn't been the same guy coming off of that injury. The Pacers still have a variety of ways to score the ball. They have, you know, their offensive rating doesn't match what it showed in the first half of the season, but still good efficiency. This handicap for me is all about the Bucks. They are bad at scoring the basketball. They really need Bobby Portis, giant Bobby Portis games to be able to score. Because here's the thing. Is Dame Lillard able to prop this team up and propel them forward? I'm not seeing it. And I'm not seeing it in the future because I haven't seen it in the past. That dude needs to get on the Kobe plan and get himself to Germany or to Mexico or somewhere. He needs some rejuvenation because there is nothing about his lift, his performance. We watched it on Sunday. He's not effective. And if that's the version of Dame that we're going to get, and that's the version we've had all season, I just can't get there with this Bucks team.
So I'm glad you mentioned Dame because you talked about his ability to score. What we haven't spoke about is his inability to defend.
Can't guard me or you.
Now on FanDuel Sportsbook, there's some decent props on there. And one that caught my eye was Tyrese Halliburton to score 20 points in every game of the series, plus 800. How is Dame going to stop him?
Now we're talking.
He's not. Long story short, he's not. Okay, guys. The NBA TV special. No surprise here. Orlando and Cleveland. I'm sure the networks are thrilled to have this one on their air. Orlando back in a postseason series. Cleveland trying to avenge what happened last year where they lost to the Knicks in five games. I think this series price is a little out of whack here, Raheem, because in theory, yes, Cleveland experienced. Cleveland went through it a year ago. Orlando, kind of one of these teams that struggles to score. We know that. First time getting their playoff chops and their playoff experience. I don't trust the Cavs. I don't trust what I saw down the stretch. I have no idea what kind of status Donovan Mitchell is in going into this series. And I know Orlando is going to compete their tails off. Now, I don't know if they're going to win the series, but I am playing them plus games. I see it plus 1.5. It's at minus 128. That is a bet I am absolutely making. I think we have a 7-game series here with Cleveland, who I don't trust to go take care of business in a favorable way. I just don't believe that they'll go win this series in 4 or 5 games. Go prove me wrong, Cavaliers. And I think Orlando will be spunky. I do. I think they'll compete their tails off. Where do you stand on Cavs and Magic?
I agree with you. I changed my mind because the Cavs at their height, yes, they should win this series. I don't think the Cavs are at their height. You're talking about a team which is 12-17 post All-Star break, net rating of minus 3.6, 26 amongst NBA teams. We know Donovan Mitchell looks like a shell of his former self, and he doesn't want to be there. When I dug into the numbers, the Magic are a top 10 defense. The Cavs against top 10 defenses, 9-15, 25th in spread differential, minus 3.4. So if you ask me, I think the Magic can not only keep up in this series, I think they can win this series outright. And
plus 164, by the way. Plus 164.
I'm taking the Magic plus 4.5 for game one in Cleveland. I'm gonna go from there, but it would not be a bad bet if you took the Magic plus 166 to win this series.
Wow, Raheem's singing a different tune from Monday House. Can I get you on board with the Orlando Magic?
The elements of this, but what the way you guys both sized this up, very attractive to me. I want to play just total number of games. 6 games is plus 200. 7 games is plus 230. I'm down on both of those because I agree with the perspectives that both of you all have shared. But I think I'm now convinced I like this investment in Orlando. I know I would prefer to root for Orlando. And since this is the NBA TV series, I have to have a little something down on, to make it interesting. So I think I'm there with the Magic. I like this, fellas.
I think we have ourselves a family play. We don't trust the Cavs. Long story short, we got a lot more coming your way. This loaded edition of East Coast Bias. Now, this time next week, a certain member of our trio is going to have the number 2 pick in the draft for his respective football team. And now all the mock drafts, they're over, they're done with. I am very curious to see where Joe House will be putting his hard-earned American dollars on what you are going to see come draft day. So have a little fun. Draft's a week away. Let's get it. We'll come right back.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
So, at this time next week, the NFL draft front and center, and we'll have Caleb Williams going to the Bears with the number one overall pick. Spoiler alert. But then, Joe House, your Washington Commanders will have a decision that will alter the course of your franchise for better or worse. I know you're investing in this. We'll do a lot of this, I'm sure, next week. Daniels, May, who's the pick for you at number two, and how are you investing?
Yeah, so fingers crossed that it all works out. I'm happy to have this opportunity for the Washington franchise, a fresh start. I'm really looking at this purely from a value perspective. At the FanDuel Sportsbook, Jaden Daniels is minus 300. Drake May is plus 220. That minus 300 number for Jaden Daniels is an implied 75% outcome. That's preposterous. The one thing I can tell you for sure with this new regime here in Washington, they are holding their cards crazy close to their vest. They invited 20 players to come to Washington this week for interviews for Top Golf to sit down and have dinner. Very shrewd, by the way, a free scouting mission, whatever it costs to fly the guys in, and they get all this intel about the makeup of all these players, really great. But at minus 300, that's insane for Jaden Daniels. There's no way that the franchise that Adam Peters has made up his mind. It's a pure value play. I love Drake May at plus 220. I also hope that that's where this ends up in terms of the Washington franchise for a variety of reasons. I don't want to live through the RG3 experience again with Mr. Daniels, but Drake May at plus 220 is wonderful value.
Ooh, okay. Raheem, have you looked into betting the NFL draft at all yet, or is this something you will dive into at some point next week?
So I haven't looked that much, but I think the one interesting thing that FanDuel does have is that they have a parlay with the top three overall picks exact order. So you can get Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniel, and Drake May minus 135. Now, if you're rolling with House, you can go with Caleb Williams, Drake May, and Jaden Daniels plus 300. So those are the two that I like that I'm still trying to decide, but I would probably take one of those.
Two things I'm looking at for this draft. One, McCarthy is going to go way higher than he should. So I'm going to be betting his prop under because I think he is going to be somebody that, whether it's Minnesota, whether it's another team like the Raiders, there is going to be J.J. McCarthy love that maybe isn't justifiable. House, you threw this in the group chat, and I totally agree with it. The over on offensive linemen to go in this first round. I love it. They are going like hotcakes. This is the draft of offensive linemen and wide receivers. So that's one for sure I'm on board with. I think we're going to see a whole lot of offensive linemen off the board here in the first 20, 25 picks.
Totally agree. Like the NFL finally getting smart. All these teams letting their 66 quarterbacks played last year. Some of it has to do with the offensive line. If you've got the talent in this upcoming crop of rookies, of draftees, get them on the football field right now, fellas.
When we come back, best bets plus maybe a little Joe House, John Jastrzemski hockey action. Yeah, that's right. We may have a little conflict of interest the next 2 weeks. We'll wrap up East Coast Bias right after this.
May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
All right, before we say goodbye, House, first off, the Stanley Cup playoffs start this weekend. I am not going to pretend to be a hockey aficionado. I know you're not in the exact, you're in the exact same boat. Let's put it that way. We're going to have a gentleman's wager on Rangers Capitals and the amount of games played. Are we on?
It's not going to be a big investment, but let's find out. Yeah, let's wager on how many games. That will be it. And JJ, it'll just be a martini at Luger's. I'm not willing to make a, not a full
I'm
steak.
Down with that. Or an old fashioned. I'm not a martini for you, old fashioned or well glass done. Of bourbon for me.
We did.
And away we go. Now, Raheem, big fight this weekend. What are we looking at?
So you got Devin Haney taking on Ryan Garcia. This got bet up from 7-1 to 11-1. Devin Haney hasn't knocked anybody out since 2019. We're now in 2024. He's moved up to 140. I think the most likely result is Devin Haney minus 130 to win by decision.
Ooh, okay. Might add that to the portfolio. And before we say goodbye, best bets. By the way, House, Rangers minus 375 in game one. That is that's a no-go for your boy. But loaded card, Friday playing, Saturday, Sunday, a bunch of game ones. House, game one.
I'm going to get it out of the way Friday night, so I have a little more bankroll for the weekend. New Orleans Pelicans plus 1.5 and on the money line plus 106. I'm going riding with the Pelicans into the playoffs, fellas.
Okay, Raheem, I know you're going to have a bunch of these coming our way on the 100, but what's the best bet?
Best bet, you got to take the Dallas Mavericks. Minus one against the Los Angeles Clippers in game one. I think they get it done there.
Guys, I'm taking the Lakers. Plus 6.5 game one against the Nuggets. I think you might have the Nuggets maybe a little flat. Lakers just played a playing game a few days ago. I'm not saying the Lakers are going to win the game outright. I just think that line opening up at 7.5, now down to 6.5. I'm going to say we have ourselves a game in the nightcap on Saturday night. Lakers, that'll be my play for game one. Fellas, we got a lot of basketball to consume. We'll be back on Monday for our audio-only show, and then the boys will be back TV time Wednesday next week. Draft, playoffs, it's a great time of the year across the board. For House, Raheem, JJ signing off. Good job by Stefan and Tucker. East Coast Bias boys out. Be good, everybody.
Must be 21 plus, 18 plus in D.C., and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, D.C., Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, North Carolina, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Kentucky, Tennessee, Virginia, and Vermont. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona. 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut. 1-800-9-WITH-IN Indiana. 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas. 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana. Visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland. Visit 1-800-gambler.net in West Virginia or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 1-800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY in New York.